Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable sisters, dear parishioners, our Lord reminds us in today's gospel about the punishment for not bearing good fruit, the punishment for sin. As St. Paul also says in today's epistle, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, eternal death, you might say, although we know our souls exist eternally. But the eternal death would be spending all eternity without the state of sanctifying grace and suffering eternal torments. So, by our Lord using that word fire, it's a reminder that He spoke repeatedly about the eternal punishment of hell, the eternal fires of hell. This is not a popular thought, as you well know. As a matter of fact, one of the terrible false arguments or sayings that's given is, how could an infinitely loving God send somebody to hell forever? Well, I'm going to tell you why. And really, it's the people that send themselves there. You know, it's as though the blame is on God. It's God's fault. God cannot commit any fault. People choose badly. They fall into mortal sin and they stay there. If they die in that state, yes, it is the eternal fires of hell. Why does it have to be eternal? Well, one of the first points we have to realize is that once we die, our wills cannot change. Whatever direction we're facing in spiritually, so to speak, that's fixed. It cannot change. So if one dies in unrepentant mortal sin, not only at that moment, for the rest of eternity, that person is turned away from God. God gives us all the chances we need in this life, but there are no more chances after we die. So that fact alone, but there are others as well that tell us why hell has to be eternal. Also, if hell would come to an end one day, it wouldn't be hell, it would be purgatory. And right away, we see a tremendous diminishing of deterrence. How important is deterrence? If there's no fear of consequence or punishment, people do all sorts of terrible, wicked things, horrible things. That deterrence is very needed. And if hell was not eternal, somebody could say, yes, I may have to spend centuries in fire, but eventually it will be over. So you see, a tremendous deterrence would be removed. Also, and this is another reason why hell has to be eternal, is that God will not be mocked. You cannot spend your life being an enemy of God and then being told one day, come, ye blessed, come into the kingdom which has been prepared for you. Wouldn't that make a complete mockery of God's justice? Yes, He is all merciful, but let's not forget He is also all just. You know, there's so little fear of hell today because it's been basically almost whitewashed out of existence. Oh, everybody goes to heaven. That is the most cruel thing to say to people because then it confirms them in sinful behavior. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, our Lord makes it very clear. There's the refutation of the false gospel of everybody ends up somehow in heaven. So more reasons could be given on the eternity of hell. It is real. And it's a real fire. And yes, right now, the soul's there. They don't have their bodies, but God supplies that sensation of pain to them. But remember, the greatest punishment of hell is being deprived of God. But we know how painful fire is if you've all gotten a burn or two. So our Lord is reminding us in a very sensible way, avoid mortal sin. That's the greatest evil, because that will either, well, if it's present in a soul, that puts one in hell for all eternity. And without mortal sin, one will make it to heaven, even though there will be time in purgatory. So let us tell ourselves, let us not listen to the false gospel of these false ideas that, oh, it's probably not going to happen. A good God wouldn't do it. No, hell is real, and I could end up there. That's what we call a salutary fear. Pray that you never lose this salutary fear. And hell really is, well, another thing people say, that's such a horrible thought, such a negative thought. But again, remember what I said about deterrence. Hell is no more negative than the idea of life in prison or capital punishment. Don't do the bad things and those things won't happen to you. One other thought on the eternity of hell, and this is not from the gospel, but I think it was a profound reflection. It says, if there were no hell, just imagine, if there were no hell, life on earth would become hell. That's right, because of people's fallen nature. And we see hell-like situations happening when people lose that fear of God, the fear of hell. They fear, unfortunately, many people fear the government or fear other people more than they fear God. We should fear supernaturally. We should fear the devil who wants to harm us. Remember, he's actively working every minute to derail you. He's working on your fallen human nature. Fortunately, the grace of God is greater than our problems. But again, if we don't make use of that grace, we could end up in an eternity of punishment. St. Basil the Great says, hell is not attractive. So to get people to go there, he makes the path attractive. And that's how he gets so many to follow the path to hell. Even in our Lord's time, our Lord says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. And few there are that find it. So the implication is quite obvious. The majority fall for the devil's ruses. They look at the attractive path, and they don't look at where that path will end. A couple of other thoughts that would be very helpful to us. What St. Alphonsus Liguori says, he says there is a limit as to how many mortal sins God will forgive somebody. And he bases his argument on Scripture. Now, this doesn't mean that that it's an absolute thing, but as a general rule, he says. So again, the idea is so that a person cannot live making a mockery of God, saying, oh, God will always forgive me when I repent. But again, putting ourselves into that situation is a terrible way to live. We know not the day or the hour. Any one of us could die today. So we always have to be in a state of readiness. And as St. Alphonsus also says, again, there's a certain limit as to how many times God will forgive you. This is not an absolute thing, because in the absolute sense, God will always forgive when we repent. But it's in the relative sense. Don't put yourself into a position of constantly sinning. We must even overcome venial sin, my dear brethren. We don't understand enough the evil of venial sin. True, it does not extinguish sanctifying grace in our souls. But it weakens us. And unchecked venial sin doesn't add up to mortal sin, but it will lead to mortal sin. It's kind of like you lose a little bit of blood each time. If you keep doing it, you lose more and more blood, maybe beyond what the body's able to replace. It's just one analogy to think of. And remember, too, venial sin caused suffering to our Lord. He didn't just atone for mortal sin in his passion and death. He atoned for every venial sin which does offend the infinite majesty of God. So work on that. That's real holiness right there, to conquer not just mortal sin, but even deliberate venial sin. To see venial sin for the evil that it really is. I'll leave you with this thought. One of the words that people really dislike to hear, and I'm speaking in a general sense, is repent. You know what that means. Change. Do penance. Practice virtue. So it's a word that people do not like to hear. However, the souls in hell wish they could hear it just one more time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.